This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by the No Pork Eater America Lover, Al. How you doing, Al?
I am terrific. Great to be here as always. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you. I'm not doing as good as Cameron Smith, but I am doing well, thank you.
Few in the country are. What a great show.
Man, it was. Yeah, I got to say this. I know Big's not in the room yet, and he might not be in because he's been traveling, but I got to give a real kudos, a shout out to Bigfoot. His blog, bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, was really good this past week. It's always good, but he shared pictures and photos of his trip to Las Vegas, California, and the Grand Canyon. And I guess he's been traveling back to home, and so he's probably going to take a brief respite, according to his blog. But the pictures were really, really cool. Learned something new about some areas of the country, and including Zizek's Road in California, and that was really cool. Out, I guess, by Baker, California, not Bakersfield, but he had some really good photos on there. So, you know, I want to give props to Bigfoot and his blog spot. If you get a chance, all last week, you know, and over the weekend, actually, you can take a look at some of the photos he put on there, and including Red Rock Canyon in Las Vegas. And you and I played golf at the base of Red Rock Canyon, by the way. So great golf course out there too. Oof. Oof.
It was beautiful.
Isn't it?
Gotta love desert courses. They are fun.
Man, they are great. I'll tell you though, the one course that I would love to play, that's on a bucket list, is St. Andrews. And this past week was the 150th Open, formerly known as the British Open, at the Home of Golf in St. Andrews, Scotland. And yesterday was the final round, and the Open was formerly known as the British Open as the fourth leg of the Grand Slam. Some may say it's the second leg of the Grand Slam after the Masters. That's what I would say anyways. And it didn't disappoint. Kicking off the week, the RNA, Royal and Ancient, celebrated the 150th anniversary by honoring golf's greatest golfer, and that would be Mr. Jack Nicklaus. He was a three-time winner of the British Open and twice winning at St. Andrews, the home of golf. And as Mr. Nicklaus stated, this will probably be his last trip to St. Andrews. I mean, the man's 83 years old. God bless him. He gave an emotional speech on Tuesday and deservedly recognized by the RNA. I know that that Holdren had listened to it, and I tell you, you talk about Nicholas getting choked up. It was really cool. The guy's got class, though. The UK's favorite son, Rory McIlroy, rose to the top of the leaderboard on Saturday. It was fueled by a spectacular bunker shot on the 10th hole. Did you see that, Al?
Oh, it was incredible.
Oh, wasn't it? Oh, my God. I mean, so it's a short par four. It's like 410 yards, I think, or 380, 390. Anyways, it was about 410. So Rory hits his drive. He hits it directly into the bunker. That's 70 feet from the pin. 70 feet. Now, that's a long bunker shot. If you don't play golf, that's pretty long. Rory gets in there. The ball's dead center of the trap of the bunker, and the bunkers in England on these courses are not easy. Anyways, he blasts out of there, just hits an absolutely beautiful bunker shot. It hits the green over the top, rolls, and it rolls dead into the pin. An eagle two. He jumps into the lead, and all of a sudden the place is going crazy. And now you've got Rory McIlroy, the favorite son of the UK, for Ireland, is now in the lead. It was a record crowd, and it was over 435,000 people attending for the week. And another impressive number, which I don't know if anybody caught, but there are 7,400 volunteers for the 150th Open. That is absolutely impressive. I mean, whoa. You talk about putting on a show and what it really takes, 7,400-plus volunteers. So Saturday's rounded up in a tie with Norway's Victor Hovland and Ireland's Rory McIlroy taking a three-shot lead into Sunday, and both tied at 16 under par. And Sunday, that's the day, man. That's the day where you can win or lose the tournament, and you either come from behind – and or you'll be in the lead and you'll jump out and you'll distance yourselves. And the way that Hovland and Rory were playing, you figured that was going to happen. But they had some really great players that were lurking behind, including U.S. rookie Cameron Young. And you had Cameron Smith and a couple of others who were in shouting distance. But Rory was certainly the crowd favorite to win the 150 Open, to capture his second British Open, I'm sorry, his second Claret Jug Cup. And he played well. He hit all 18 greens in regulation. He shot two under par 70, but he had 36 putts. He two-putted every green, even the par fives, which he ended up with two birdies on, but he couldn't make an eagle and he couldn't make any other birdies. He couldn't sink a putt other than the two par fives. Victor Hovland, who was tied with Rory, he fell back out of contention with a couple of bogeys, then got back into it with some birdies, but it was too late. The pentuplet group, which was the Camerons, Cameron Young and Cameron Smith, Cameron Young from America and Australia, Cameron Smith, were in second place, and those two guys ended up putting on the show. They kept within Rory's lead throughout the whole front nine, but on the back nine, Australia's Cameron Smith just lit it up. He shot a 6-under-30 on the back. He tied Rory at 18 under par, and then Smith sunk a birdie to go 19 under, and he took a one-shot lead going into the 18th hole over Rory McIlroy, who, again, could not sink a putt. Then on the 18th hole, Cameron Young did something really interesting. He took out a driver all week long, all three rounds, previous three rounds. He took out an iron and to lay up, but he took a driver out, and he went for it, and he knocked it to the right of the green, probably about 75 feet, and he could putt it. Cameron Young, the American, needs to eagle the hole to tie Cam Smith at 19 under par. Cameron Young, 25-year-old rookie from the United States, drives the green, knocks his drive about 12 feet from the pin. Now, Cameron Young, if he drains it, he's tied. But Cameron Smith from Australia has a 70-foot putt to eagle the hole, or if he's got to leave it close in order to birdie the hole and then take a two-shot lead. Well, Cameron Smith takes a 70-foot putt, knocks it within 3 feet, puts it up there, marks his ball. Cameron Young drains the 12-footer for an eagle. He's tied for the lead. Cameron Smith has got a putt that if you follow the U.S. If you follow the British Open, Doug Sanders missed a 2-foot putt back in the, I think in the early 70s, to give Jack Nicklaus the win. Okay, and so you're looking at it, and I'm thinking, Paul Azinger, he goes ahead and he says the very same thing. He goes, Doug Sanders had the very same putt, 40 years ago. Well, Smith drained it. And so now he's got a 2-shot lead. He actually has a 1-shot lead over Cameron Smith, and Rory McIlroy has to eagle the 18th hole, who's playing right behind them. He hits his drive. It checks up. He doesn't. Now he's got to drain his second shot. He doesn't to force a playoff. It would be a 4-hole playoff. And the 150th Open Champion Golfer of the Year is Australia's Cameron Smith, and that young man deserved it. He got the monkey off of his back, I believe, after he folded during the Masters, and it really affected him for the next 2 months. Back in April, May, he was just not the same player, but to see him just perform the way he did, didn't have a bogey on his card. He made some clutch putts, including on 17, and he walks away the winner of the 150th Open. And what was interesting is that the 100th Open was also won by an Australian. So that's kind of interesting. So anyways, so the claret jug, 150th Open goes to Australia's Cam Smith. What'd you take out of it?
Oh, I took out that everything he said was great. All the birdies, he wanted this win, and it was hard fought and great golf to watch. But what was most beautiful for me is that McIlroy couldn't get it done. I thought he was going to win it, and I was very upset, but he ended up losing, and I was very happy. And you probably ask, why am I happy that someone lost? Because he disrespected President Trump and refused to play golf with him. So I am forever not a Rory McIlroy fan.
You know, I have to share this with you. So I get this text after Rory, after Cameron Smith drains the putt on 18, okay, and he doesn't win the Open, and I'm sorry, he has a 2-shot lead, okay, it says, so this is what the text says. It appears Rory didn't apologize to Trump this morning. That was from our friend Holger.
I was going to say, that sounds like a Holger Twitter.
That was really good. I started laughing.
He's a funny man.
He is. Oh, man, what a great – I'll tell you, it turned out to be a really great tournament. The weather was absolutely impeccable. It was un-British Open style type, and it really led to record scoring. 20 under par. Cameron Smith had putted brilliantly all weekend. Saturday he had a hiccup, but the man played fantastic. Very, very happy for that guy. I'll tell you, I really like his style of play. And the other guy is Victor Hovland. He's going to win. He's just going to have to learn how to win, how to play in the final in majors, and he's learning how to do that. So,
and learning to win is very difficult to do. And he's got such a nice swing, Hovland. He's a good player. Now, the real irony in all this is the LIV next, I believe on the 19th, is going to be playing at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster. Rory McIlroy will not be there.
No, he didn't defect, so he's going to play on the PGA Tour, so good for him.
And this is also the course that the PGA, they had a contract to play at this course, a PGA tournament, but they reneged on their contract, and because it was Donald Trump, and they did that for political reasons, which was a very woke move by the PGA, very disgraceful. So
yeah,
I just thought I'd throw that in there.
That's all right. I got mixed emotions about that part of it. I think I kind of understand why they did it, but the woke movement was really starting to trump things, and now the woke movement is realizing that they how poorly they've acted. And, you know, I think about Brittany Griner and looking at all the posts, and then here the WNBA player could receive up to 10 years in the gulag for bringing drugs. And I believe, if I was correct on that, she brought in hashish, but she's facing up to 10 years in a communist gulag. Communism, which the woke movement in America wants to embrace, is not faring too well for their fellow wokeness and the BLM players, is it?
Well, no. And good. She took drugs into communist Russia, and she needs to do her time. There's no get out of jail free unless they work out some kind of a deal, which they might, because she did plead guilty, and I doubt she would have pled guilty if there wasn't some deal in the works. But either way, I was sent a side-by-side picture with Ms. Griner, and Ms. Griner might be a Mr. Griner. I don't know if you saw the same one, but the tattoos matched up. They had a picture of Mr. Griner shooting with his shirt off. Why that is, and it was a guy. You saw the same thing?
Yeah. Did you see? I saw that last week, like Thursday, Friday, something like that. I had no idea.
Old news, but...
Well, I don't know how old news it is. I mean, I used to follow Griner in college when she was at Baylor. It was kind of cool to watch her, but now if find out she's a freaking dude.
Well, I can't confirm this story, but all I know is from the pictures, the tattoos did match up.
Yeah.
And even with the finishing of the tattoos, one was unfinished in the first stages of the outlining and hadn't been filled in. And then the later picture, it was filled in. But this girl looks like a dude.
I tell you, I have to agree with you, man. Hey, and while we're speaking of dudes, the NCAA continues to sell out women in women's sports. And did you see this? The cross-dressing 22-year-old swimmer, biological male swimmer from the University of Pennsylvania, Leah Thomas, was nominated for NCAA 2022 Woman of the Year. I mean, you know, the nasty Italian on Twitter. I follow her on Twitter. If you want someone who's going to tell it direct, she posted this: the NCAA nominated a dude for Women of the Year. Anyone else think this is effed up, or is it just me? I mean, she nailed it. I mean, this is yet another slap in the face to biological women. Not only are they getting trounced in the pool, now they will be denied accolades and awards for being biological women and achieving greatness in their respective sports, you know, undermined by biological males. And it boggles the mind, Al. You know, you look on TV and there are some stations that we have to applaud women and support women's sports and Title IX. So in 1972, Title IX was passed to help transform women athletics and education. In short, the law requires schools and colleges receiving federal funds to give women and girls an equal chance to play sports and to treat men and women equally when it comes to athletic scholarships and other benefit-like equipment, coaching, and facilities. Unfortunately, 50 years later, the law is being taken advantage of, and the individuals it was designed to protect are now being harmed. And that is so true. Whoever wrote that was absolutely correct. Women are being harmed, and now it's being taken over by cross-dressing males, and we have to honor cross-dressing males now as Women of the Year? That's absolute hogwash.
Mm-hmm. And I like the way you're wording this, a cross-dressing male. XX chromosomes don't lie. When he becomes – when William Thomas, that's his real name, when William Thomas gets a Y chromosome – then I'll call him Leah, and then he can wear a dress. I mean, he can wear a dress now, but he's still a cross-dresser. And he does not have to bully me into accepting his cross-dressing lifestyle. I don't have to accept it. He can do it, but I have the right to mock him and call him a cross-dresser, which is somewhat offensive, I'll tell you. And I'm okay with that.
Well, I like that term. You're the one that coined the term, and I agree with you 100% on that. It's a cross-dressing male, and that's all he is. And sadly, he couldn't make it as a in the male competition. So now he identifies as a woman, and now we have to give him accolades because he's now competing against women and he's beating women. I mean, that's just the ultimate slap in the face to women and how hard these women have worked to achieve, you know, the pinnacle of their sports only to be ruined, you know, again by a male who says he identifies as a female. And yet he's still dating women.
Oh, so he's a lesbian now.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Well, I don't care. He can cut his private parts off. He can take, what do they take, estrogen? He can take all the estrogen he can drink during happy hour, and he is still a male because XX chromosomes don't lie, and it's all about the science, as our friend Mr. Fauci says.
And he'll never give birth to a child. I mean, give me a break. This is absolutely, it's insane.
Well, did you see that congressional hearing where that one woman got up and said that men can birth babies? Well, yeah, they might be able to implant a living baby into a guy's stomach, but he still doesn't have the right equipment. He doesn't have that Y chromosome or a uterus. And where's it going to come out if it's not a C-section? These are questions people need to ask before you make such a bold statement that men can have babies.
Oh, I don't.
But for crying out loud, you're making it on the floor of Congress, for crying out loud, and then you're giving the congressman crap for asking that is not true, and then. This one professor from some university out on the West Coast said that this congressman is inciting violence for asking the question, can a man have babies? And it was transphobic to even ask the question. Good Lord Almighty.
Yeah, I know. She was very confrontational. But I'll tell you what, Al. There's no way in hell, and I'm very glad that men can't have babies, because if it's worse than passing a kidney stone, that's fucked up, man. Because I wouldn't, you know, there's no way in hell I'd have a baby.
No, that'd be like urinating out a pine cone. No, thank you.
Oh. All right. Well. Well. Hey. On some better news. The Second Amendment was invoked in Greenwood, Indiana, over the weekend. A gunman opened fire in a shopping mall in a food cart. He did kill three people and injure two or four, I believe, and a 22-year-old customer who was legally carrying a firearm exercised his Second Amendment right and returned fire at the terrorist and shot the gunman dead. He prevented a mass shooting, and not that three people dying is not a tragedy. But Greenwood is a south suburb of Indianapolis with a population of about 60,000 people. Now, this is a remote area of middle America, and an attempted mass shooting occurs. I mean, we have an attempt to change the hearts and minds of Americans in dismantling the Second Amendment. And in a remote area of middle America, Indiana, population of 60,000, a mass shooting is attempted. This stinks to high heaven, but you know what? A 22-year-old male exercised his Second Amendment rights. He carried his right to bear arms, and he defended, and he saved many lives.
Right. And when you look at this, you look at the other stories at the schools where there are shootings and the other mass shootings, the majority of those have been done by 20 males 25 and older. In fact, our Marxist Democrats are trying to push through legislation to make it so you must be 25 or older before you can purchase a long gun. They want to take the right of guns away from those males who are 18 and older, just as a way of trying to advance their anti-gun agenda off the dead bodies of psychopaths who kill innocent people. Well, in this case, as you said, a 22-year-old who was legally carrying, the shooter came into the food court and just started shooting. The 22-year-old with the legal gun, the good guy with the gun, took out the shooter and very quickly and saved a lot of lives, potentially a lot of lives, because the shooter had a long gun with several magazines, according to news stories. So kudos to this 22-year-old, a good guy with a gun.
Right. That's how you prevent mass shootings. That's what will give people pause. Do I go into that location? Do I go into that mall? Well, I'll tell you what, I, like that 22-year-old, will be carrying everywhere as well. I mean, you know, this has gotten out of hand. It's gotten out of control. The anarchy, the lawlessness is endorsed by the destructive Democrat Party. And this whole movement of defund police is a leeway to this in order to dismantle the U.S. Constitution, including the Second Amendment. And I tell you, I don't trust the destructive Democrat Party nor the swamp. They are not protecting our rights. They're not enforcing laws, and they have total and utter contempt for the United States Constitution. So, you know, kudos to that 22-year-old. You know, God bless him, and he did the right thing. And let's hope there's no, ramifications for his actions of legally carrying. Because, hey, he also fit the profile, didn't he? The destructive Democrat Party wants to increase the age to buy a AR-15, an automatic weapon, to 21 years old, and this is a 22-year-old. So, you know, good for him.
Yep, and we still don't know the identity of the dead shooter.
No.
It seems by now that we would know everything about the shooter, so my guess is he must fit some profile that is probably Antifa or something that one of the Democrat Party henchmen is probably, he must be a Marxist. That's all I can say, because we should know everything about him. Now, I don't want to know anything about the good guy with the gun. I want him to remain anonymous, because there are people that will go after him, and I just want him to be honored and hopefully, if it's his choice, to stay in the shadows, because and our prayers go out to those who were killed and injured at the senseless shooting. But hopefully next time one of these psychopaths decide to go into a mall, they're going to think twice about it because of this good guy with a gun.
That's right.
Yep.
Same with churches.
Attacking a soft target. Yeah, it takes no bravery to go in and mow down people at a mall in a food court. That's just psychopathic behavior. Sick. Total sickness. And there's even another story in American military news. A homeowner fired an AK-40-style gun at home invaders, and the Florida sheriff said he did nothing wrong. The homeowner reportedly used an AK-47-style gun to shoot at home invaders. Will absolutely not face charges, a Florida sheriff said last week. According to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, three men of color, including one who was armed with a handgun, attacked a homeowner on the 700 block of Pinestead Road on July 7th during the home invasion. The victim's pistol fell to the ground and was picked up by one of the home invaders. Talk about a scary situation. The victim ran back into the house where he had another firearm, began firing at the intruders. And the sheriff's office said that the statement posted on Vayner, along with the security video of the incident, corroborated the story. The homeowner was not charged, as he shouldn't.
I think there's a video of that.
Yeah,
I think there was a video.
It's almost like a Ring camera. Yeah, if you go to American Military News, you can find the story. In fact, I'll put it up into the chat room. But yeah.
Yeah, one of the invaders, before they proceed to the house, he reaches in his pocket, he pulls out a handgun, and he cocks it, and he puts it right, you know, he's holding it down by his side, and then all of a sudden you hear pop, pop, and then I guess the they start running, and the guy, the homeowner grabs his AK-47. So people ask, well, why does anybody need an AR-15? It's exactly why. There were three men. One of them was armed. They tried to break into his house. Who knows what they would have done, including pistol whip for killing him, and he defended his property. He defended his property. So God bless the man.
Right. With a long gun. And yes.
With a long gun.
AK-47 style, which I happen to own one myself, and it is a great, it's a very powerful 7.62 round, and it's a good gun for self-defense, and that is exactly why. And keep in mind, too, that there are laws against full-fire guns. You cannot have an automatic rifle. It is against the law. So you can have where each finger pull is a shot, and then that is legal. So
yeah, in the meantime, all these
idiots that say the machine guns are legal and all this, they're all lying. They're lying to you.
Well, and even Congress is lying to us. I mean, you've got just the way that the media, the way they report, you know, the automatic weapons, AR-15, automatic assault rifles. So that was, they're supposed to harden with the American people. Assault rifles. Why do you need an assault rifle? Well, here's a reason why. You know, three scumbags.
So the Democrat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Three scumbags. Yeah, go on.
The three scumbags, you know, who have been emboldened by this, you know, defund police, the anarchy movement, and, you know, to disobey, civil disobedience, this is the reason why.
Mm-hmm. And if the Democrat Marxists have had their way, you would have another massacre at that mall because that good guy with a gun never would have been there. Well, he might have been there, but he wouldn't have had a gun. This homeowner... With his AK-47, he probably would have been killed because they were armed home invaders, and they likely would have shot him rather than keep a witness alive. He would likely be dead. So thank goodness the Democrat Marxists are losing, but we have to be very vigilant.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Holder says the Second Amendment. Now, Holder says... In the chat room, he says, the Second Amendment says I can have an automatic rifle, a bazooka, or an Abrams tank. Now, he's right, technically, in the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. It doesn't go into specificity or limitations. I guess that is a state issue.
Yeah, nor an age issue. There's nothing in there that says a 16-year-old can't have a weapon.
Right.
Yeah. It's no longer about responsibility and safety. It's about the erosion and the dismantling of the Second Amendment. That's all it is. That's all the left wants to do. They know that if they can disarm the American people, they can implement their radical anti-American agenda.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about your state, but in my state, I can't have an Abrams tank or a bazooka. Or a fully automatic rifle.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'll have to check and see.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, I see Bigfoot's in the house, so I want to tell you, I want to say it with Bigfoot in there. Great blog spot last week. Thank you for the photos. It was educational. You had some really picturesque photos. I love the Baker, California. And the world's largest thermometer. That was really cool. The temperatures were incredible. 107, 105, over 100 degrees where you are at. Found it very interesting, fascinating. It was a good little history lesson and some fantastic photos. So I would encourage people to go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Check it out. Big did a really nice job in documenting his travels and with some great photos of places you probably would not see, including Baker's, California. And if I say it right, I'm not sure I said it right, Big, but Zizek's Road in California. So that was just – it's, I guess, in the alphabet, it is the last – it's the last word in the alphabet of a road, Zizek's Road. So I don't know how the hell you found that, But that's pretty cool. There was a story that he put in, and I can't remember if it was today or if it was last week, but the United Kingdom is also experiencing record temperatures, record heat, and they're having a problem with runways that are melting. And I find that fascinating in light of Big's blog. But Las Vegas experiences, you know, record temperatures of 107, 100 degrees plus for many days in a row. And they don't have any problems at McCarran Airport with runways melting. So I don't know what the UK uses, but they really need to contact the McCarran Airport to find out how they make their runway so that they don't have the problem of the runway melting. So
they need new engineers. Those limey bastards can't even make a road that doesn't melt.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Thank God we came to help them in World War II.
Oh, that was cold. You know, they're still reeling from 1776, for crying out loud. Oh, man.
Well, the French helped. Yeah, we beat them there thanks with the help of the French.
Yeah, so that's right.
Thank you, French people. Yeah.
So
that's where we got French fries, I heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah. Well, if anybody knows that factoid, you know, please let us know. Put in the chat room a link or call in.
That's the important news right there, folks.
So you put a you sent out a tweet regarding Islamist Lobby Day. Congress welcomes Turkish-backed extremists to Capitol. The Turkish-backed coalition of the nation's most prominent Sunni Islamist organization converged on Capitol Hill for the 7th annual National Muslim Advocacy Day in mid-June. The U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations, USCMO, enjoyed logistical support from the Turkish government as more than 300 delegates toured congressional offices to lobby a package of radical legislative proposals. So what do you know about this, Al?
Well, just what you told me. I was not aware of this H.R. 5665 until we spoke earlier about it.
Well, yeah, you know, this is what's really bothersome. Okay, so you've got two issues here, okay? The one issue is that conveniently after the Islamist Lobby Day in Congress occurs, where Sunni Muslims were descending upon the U.S. Capitol, and look, you know, freedom of religion, you have a right to lobby, but now you have the Islamic movement, you know, it's led by the Muslim Brotherhood, descends on state capitals and of course, the federal government to help pass laws that are contrary to what our founding was. Sharia-based laws, Sharia support laws. Well, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that one of my pet peeves is UN Resolution 1618. UN Resolution 1618 was passed by the 56 Islamic states and the Palestinian territory, and it's a sham. It's a scam. And what it's designed to do, it's designed to embolden Islam. It's designed for supremacy purposes. And it's designed to implement a form of Sharia that, of course, promotes domination. And that's what Islam does, promotes domination. It's about domination. It's not about assimilation anywhere in the West. And we've been on the radio for 14 years, and we've talked about this. And when UN Resolution 1618 first materialized in 2011, then Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton had petitioned then-Attorney General Eric Holder to find a way to implement UN Resolution 1618 into the United States. The problem that they have is called the U.S. Constitution, And for all of Eric Holder's faults, he understood that this was not an easy undertaking. As a matter of fact, it was a violation. Adopting a UN resolution in the United States is a violation of Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution, the Supremacy Clause. Okay, so the Supremacy Clause reads, the Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. So foreign laws are not recognized in the United States. It means that UN Resolution 1618 is one of those laws that cannot be enforced in the United States. Well, how do you do an end around? You do an end around by going to Congress, and when you have a left-wing, anti-American, anti-constitutional Congress that's led by Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, Adam Schiff, Chucky Schumer, you find ways to circumvent the Bill of Rights. And so it was kind of ironic that in June, the 7th annual National Muslim Advocacy Day was being exercised in the halls of Congress, because not one month later, okay, the anti-American Ilhan Omar is back in the news. The legislation that she put forth is back in the news, and it's back to the forefront, and it's called the Islamophobia Bill, H.R. 5665. Now remember, UN Resolution 1618 has no place in the United States of America. It has no place in supplanting the U.S. Constitution. And it can't supplant the U.S. Constitution. Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution makes that quite clear. But when you have anti-Americans and anti-constitutionalists like Ilhan Omar, representative Democrat from Mogadishu, who is trying to undermine the United States Constitution, trying to undermine the Bill of Rights. And for a person who doesn't have command of the English language, she sure as hell uses the First Amendment to destroy the First Amendment, because that's exactly what the legislation she put forth does. Combating International Islamophobia Act, H.R. 5665. Now, it does appear to be stalled in the United States Senate. So we are urging every one of you out there to contact your senators. Contact your two senators, respectively their political party. And you tell them and you ask them to oppose H.R. 5665. It is anti-constitutional. It is anti-American. It is anti-free speech. And it's a masquerade for the bogus UN Resolution 1618, which passed the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, that's the 56 Islamic states and the Palestinian territory. And don't be misled on this. An article reads that nearly all Democrats voted for the bill. Every Democrat voted for the bill. There were two Democrats who decided that they were going to cast a vote. And that would be Congresswoman Stephanie Murphy and Kathleen Rice. Now, Murphy is not running for re-election, but I'm sure she understood, as being a former person of the military, that this was an attack on free speech. I can't speak for her. I haven't spoke to her, but certainly she might have a conscience. And how representatives, okay, in the United States House don't have a conscience, like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, as if we thought she would have a conscience, by the way. Frankel, Peter Deutsch, all three happen to be from South Florida. All three are Jewish. Now, UN Resolution 1618 likes to sound kumbaya-ish. Okay? It wants to lull you to sleep by stating, combating intolerance, negative stereotyping, and stigmatization of, and discrimination, incitement to violence, and violence against persons based on religion or belief. That's what it wants you to believe, right? That sounds, Vito, that just sounds so, I mean, how can you argue with that? Reaffirming the commitment made by all states under the Charter of the United Nations to promote and encourage universal respect for and observance of all human rights and fundamental freedoms without distinction as to inter alia religion or belief. And you know, you say, my goodness, that sounds very good as well. Oh my gosh, how can you dispute that? But then you look at what Islam is doing around the world. Forget about just the United States. A 13-year-old Ethiopian rapes a 9-year-old. Turns out that he's an adult. He's not 13 years old. Huh? What's going on, let's say, in Nigeria, where Christians are being summarily murdered, extinguished, okay, by Muslim terrorist organizations? And where's the United Nations? Two more priests have been killed in Nigeria at the hands of Islamists. Well, you know what? Reaffirming the commitment made by all states under the Charter of the United Nations to promote and encourage universal respect for and observance of all human rights and fundamental freedoms. Really, where is the freedoms of the 2,700 Christians who were extinguished, who were terminated, who were slain by Muslim terrorists in Nigeria? Togo, Muslims murder at least 12 civilians in overnight jihad raids on villages. Huh? It turns out that Nigeria was one of those that voted for UN Resolution 1618. So where is the outrage and the condemnation by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation? It doesn't exist, because this legislation is about domination. And the Organization of Islamic Cooperation found a pigeon in the United States Congress. They found the anti-American Ilhan Omar to sponsor this anti-American legislation. And it's solely meant to undermine the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. It is to undermine free speech in America. As Al and I were talking before the show, if you're a non-Muslim and you read directly from Bukhari that Muhammad, a 53-year-old man, married a 6-year-old girl, you're Islamophobic. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm reading right from your text. Matter of fact, in 2003, Islamist organizations challenged non-Muslims to read the Quran. And we did. And in reading the Quran, we're horrified. Chapter 4, verse 84, so engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens in any but yourself and provoke the believers. And we see the provocation of believers around the world in the form of terrorist attacks, like they saw at the Pulse nightclub in June 2016, where 49 innocent people, and because it was a homosexual bar, okay, it was chosen to exterminate those individuals. A terrorist walks in and kills 49 innocent people. If that's not enough, how about November 2015, where a husband and wife jihad team kills 14 of their fellow employees, and we're supposed to say, oh, it was just, we got it to ban guns, when in fact it was a jihad attack. It was an act of war. Saeed Rizwan Farouk and his wife Tashin Malik. 14 people killed in San Bernardino. 14 of their fellow employees who had just a week before thrown them a baby shower. But see, it's about supremacy. And this is exactly what H.R. 5665 is. It's about supremacy. It was promoted by Ilhan Omar, by Andre Carson, by Rashida Motherefer Tlaib. And now you've got Ms. Schakowsky of Illinois is putting forth and pushing this bill through once again. And she is asking for the U.S. Senate to pass this poor anti-constitutional pro-Sharia legislation. Because not only does it attack the First Amendment, but now, ladies and gentlemen, and we know this with Bonehead Biden, because he's in the back pockets of the Muslim Brotherhood, who he's allowed back into the White House. but it will create an office to monitor and combat Islamophobia. Yeah, yeah, we're going to create another office in the United States, okay, of America, in our government. The Secretary of State shall establish within the Department of State an office to monitor and combat Islamophobia. It wasn't enough that the Secretary of State, I'm sorry, the Department of Homeland Security had created a truth office, okay, that was going to monitor whether stories were true. Now the Secretary of State would be given the authority to establish a department of office to monitor and combat Islamophobia at taxpayer expense, an office that requires a staff, that requires phones, that requires computers. It requires the taxpayers to bend over and take it once again. A special envoy for monitoring and combating Islamophobia. So now you've got a staff, you've got an office, and now you have a special envoy. The head of the office will be the special envoy for monitoring and combating Islamophobia. So if you read from the Islamic text, and if you read from the word of Allah, remember now, the word of Allah cannot be challenged, okay, except chapter 5, chapter 9, verse 5. But here, chapter 4, verse 71. Oh, you believe, take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. You read that passage as a non-Muslim, you're Islamophobic. You see, this is about curtailing speech in America. Sharia has total and utter contempt for the United States Constitution, for man-made laws. And now with this president who is installed, Joe Biden being installed, the left-wing anti-Americans believe they have carte blanche to implementing legislation that is contrary to the U.S. Constitution. They are seeking ways to not only dilute, but to destroy the U.S. Constitution. Creating an office. So the purpose of the office, upon the establishment, the office shall assume primary responsibility for the following: monitoring and combating acts of Islamophobia and Islamophobic incitement that occur in foreign countries. Oh, really? Well, you know what? You can save the money in establishing this office. Just go to jihadwatch.org, okay? And jihadwatch.org does a great job in monitoring Islam, Nigeria, Togo, Cameroon, Sudan, Lahore, Pakistan, the extermination of Christians at the hands of Muslims, at the hands of Muslim terrorist organizations. Coordinating and assisting in the preparation of that portion of the reports required by paragraph 9, section 116, relating to an assessment and description of the nature and extent of acts of Islamophobia and Islamophobic incitement. Do you know the FBI put out this statistic? The number one group that is being attacked in the United States, the number one group are the Jews. By like 70%. This piece of legislation, H.R. 5665, bogus. This is detrimental to our speech, our free speech, our Bill of Rights in the United States of America. This is a full-fledged attack by the pro-Islamic movement that is embedded in the United States House of Representatives. And each and every Democrat who are a member of the destructive Democrat Party are trying their damnedest to undermine the United States Constitution. There is no reason whatsoever to establish an office to monitor and combat Islamophobia. You've got Biden spending billions of dollars. You've got the United States House of Representatives led by Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer pissing away trillions of dollars. And they've made a bundle themselves. In the meantime, the American people are suffering. The American people are finding it difficult to even put gas in their vehicles. And this administration, this Congress, is passing legislation such as H.R. 5665. And you're right, Holger. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is still in Congress. All she did was step down for being chair of the Democrat National Committee when it was found that she was cheating, when she had cheated during the 2016 Democrat primary presidential election. There's no consequences for the Democrat Party's actions. There's none. And all these claims about defending Israel by the Jews, that the Democrat Jews in Congress, is bull. It's malarkey. Because if the three that I mentioned, Wasserman, Schultz, Deutsch, and Frankel, had any conscience whatsoever, they would have spoken out and said, wait a minute, hold on a second. We have FBI statistics here. The number one group being attacked and maligned in the United States of America are not the Muslims. It's the Jews. It's the anti-Semitic attacks on Jewish people in the United States of America. And they've said nothing. They have said nothing. Why? Because they believe in the dismantling of the United States Constitution. The purpose of the office, okay, coordinated assisting in the preparation of the portion of the report requires the Religious Freedom Act of 1998 relating to an assessment and description of the nature and extent of acts of Islamophobic incitement. Really? Really? This is what the State Department is going to be engaged in. In the meantime, you've got bonehead Biden traveling over to the Middle East and screwing things up once again. Oh, hey, Biden didn't disappoint with his trips to Israel, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia because they were a disaster and we predicted it. Not to disappoint, Candyman Blowhard Biden continues his mission to waste taxpayer money, recklessly throwing away taxpayer money at every turn, including his latest trip to Israel and Palestine. The anti-American Blowhard Biden unilaterally commits to intentionally squandering taxpayer money by the hundreds of millions of dollars. Not millions, by the hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars. Not $10,000, not $100,000, but hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars being wasted. And get this out. Blowhard Biden has committed $200 million of taxpayer money to help improve Palestinian day-to-day life. Biden said he was pledging an additional $200 million to the United Nations Relief and Work Agency. For what purpose? For what purpose?
They have money for rockets because they fired four rockets into Israel the day before Biden got there.
We got a caller in the queue. I'm going to bring him on here.
Bring him on.
I think we got the guy. I think we got him on. It's, dare I say. Good evening, Holger. How you doing? Sorry,
Holger,
for the wait.
I know. You got me going with, all you got to do is just say Wasserman Schultz, and you'll get my little fingers dialing away.
Oh.
So let me see if I got this straight. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was chair of the DNC, right?
That is correct.
And then she basically cheated for Hillary, screwed Bernie, right?
Correct.
You are correct, sir.
And so she had to step down from the chairperson role at the DNC.
Correct.
Okay. But at the same time, she's the one that invited the jihadi Muslim spies into
Awad
the house
brothers.
And gave them access to all of our national security files, and yet she's still in the House of Representatives.
Yes, you are speaking of the Awad brothers, by the way, three of them. Yes, you are absolutely correct.
Yeah. Okay, so that doesn't seem right to me. I mean, that's almost like if you were like a sitting representative in the House of Representatives and it was discovered that you were having a sexual affair with a spy from communist China, that you would still be in the House of Representatives.
Fang, fang. Yes, you are correct, sir. I wish I had that I wish I had that Ed McMahon soundbite.
So did you realize that a representative in the House of Representatives or a senator in the U.S. Senate cannot be recalled by the people?
No,
there's no way that the people can remove them from office other than waiting for their term to come up and then voting them out.
Wow.
I didn't realize that. There is no way you can recall a governor. You can recall people at the state level, but you can't. The only way that a representative, like let's just say, like Eric Swalwell,
Yeah.
Giving secrets of our government to the communist Chinese, in between muff dives, the only way he can be removed from the House of Representatives is for them, the House, to kick him out.
They
can remove him.
What does that tell you? Now, wait a minute. That's an important fact that you brought up here, because when you have the chairman of the Democrat National Committee who abruptly steps down because she was caught cheating, okay? She was rigging votes. She was caught tampering with votes, which should be a violation, yet the Speaker of the House does nothing. And now you've got the Speaker of the House also does not penalize the person by removing them from committee, admonish them in any way, shape, or form. And now you've got another member of the House who basically had his entire political career, for his congressional career, was financed by the Chinese. And there's nothing wrong with this?
So, we go back and forth, and you know how I feel about the two-party system and the fact that it just doesn't exist. And all that, but we might have an opportunity for a good test of my theory, because if everybody claims that the midterms that the Republicans will take over the House again and that the Senate will go Republican and so forth. Okay, so the test will be that at that point in time, when there's now 235 Republicans and there's 200 Democrats, will Debbie Wasserman Schultz be thrown out? Will Eric Swalwell be thrown out?
Well,
it ain't going to happen.
Well,
they'll get reelected. They'll get better appointments. They'll be loved.
We must take the high road on this, Mr. Holder, and you must understand that the consequences with regards to the duties that are executed by this House under my leadership, Kevin McCarthy, we are not going to be dealing with trivial information on this. We're going to deal with the cause for the people, of the people, by the people. And we feel that the people have spoken and that we are not going to go ahead. And you believe that bullshit? Okay. There you go. Sorry.
Kevin, you've got a perfect voice for NPR radio. You really do.
Well, actually, I thought it was Charlie Rangel that had the voice for NPR there, Holger. And I think you whistle a Dixie if you think that the Democrat Party is going to really feel any ramifications in November. We've got this cheating thing down so well that we've got you all bamboozled. So nothing's going to happen to my colleague, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Nor Fang Fang. I'm sorry. That would be Eric Swalwell. He's a good young man, Eric Swalwell. He sold himself to the Chinese very well. He does a very good job. So I really need somebody to go ahead and carry the torch for here, Charlie Rangel. And I think it might be Eric Swalwell, Fang Fang.
Oh, perfect. So one last thing, and I'll get off the front line here. When Trump was impeached the first time, mm-hmm. wasn't that for the collusion with the Russians?
No, it wasn't the Russians. It was the Ukrainians. And
I thought that was the second one. I thought the second impeachment. The second impeachment had to do with the phone call to the Ukrainians, that bullshit and stuff. Wasn't the first one with the Russian collusion?
Oh, the Steele dossier, wasn't it? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember now.
The second amendment was all about the phone call with the Ukrainian, with Zelensky and all this kind of good stuff and all that. Well, I guess my point is that if the, and this is where I think there is a, this is where I think there, the Constitution is imperfect, in my view. In certain things. I mean, it's pretty darn good, but it's still got some imperfections. But bottom line is there is a process in place to remove the president, right? That's
right.
Called impeachment. The House can impeach and the Senate can convict or acquit. And so the point being is you've got Donald Trump was accused of colluding with an enemy of this country, with the Russians, okay? No different than Eric Swalwell being accused of working with the communist Chinese, an enemy of this country, right? There's no difference.
Right.
The problem with the Constitution is the people that can remove the president are from a different branch. If you're a congressman or a senator, you're removed by your damn cohorts. You know, it's kind of like the dirty cop getting kicked out by his brother cop. So.
Oh, I have, you know what, here, this is why President Trump was.
Tonight there's some troublesome news for Joe Biden. No, it's not what you think or what you may have heard in some other news outlets. We generally don't dabble in that kind of stuff here, at least not on this newscast. No, this is actually a lot more important because it may have to do with malfeasance, may have to do with corruption on the part of our former vice president. I want you to listen to what Mr. Biden said last year about getting a prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son.
So that was the first impeachment was a result of the call to Zelensky on July 25th, 2019. And it was also a result of former Vice President Joe Biden having diarrhea of the mouth and trying to be big man on campus at that some organization where he was giving a speech and he was trying to be big man and he went to confession and he said that Barack was solid on it. So if you don't believe me, Zelensky, you can call Barack because he's solid. And they try to get the special prosecutor fired, which in fact the special prosecutor did get fired. So you had Joe Biden having diarrhea of the mouth, and frankly, President Trump says, "Well, wait a minute here. We have a quid pro quo as a result of Joe Biden's own words." And quickly, the destructive Democrat Party got together, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, and they coordinated the effort to impeach President Trump with the phone call he had made to Zelensky. And then they had the henchman, the liar, Alexander Vindman, also be the whistleblower saying he overheard the conversation, which he couldn't have. He never did. And then it turned out that he didn't. And so the Democrat Party lied once again because you had Nancy Pelosi absolutely despised Donald Trump. And Trump was just trying to do what any person who had respect for the Constitution and America would do is, wait a minute, we had a quid pro quo by the vice president and the president of the United States, Barack Obama, and we're going to let this slide. So tell me, Zelensky, what actually happened between Poroshenko and Biden? And that's what got it. That's what led to that first impeachment.
Yeah. And I'm reading here. It says that President Trump's corrupt solicitation of the government of Ukraine to interfere in the 2020 United States presidential election. Okay. Okay. So then, if that's the first impeachment, then what was the second impeachment for? He was impeached twice, right?
Yes, correct.
What was the second one for?
Good question.
See, I thought the Ukraine in the 2020 election was the second one, because I mean, well, shit, the 2020 election was just at the tail end.
Yeah, and I was looking on the line here, and I could see that the first one was it says first impeachment of Donald Trump, and it was Ukraine. So, oh, January 6th, right? Was that the one or no? Is that the second impeachment? Was January 6th? Oh, Boyd
2019 said that. Is when Trump was impeached the first time.
Right, and that was the Ukraine issue. Yeah. A matter of fact,
so that was when they accused him of influencing Ukraine to announce an investigation into Joe Biden.
Right.
Okay. All right, I'm confused. I'm really confused because I just don't see any distinction between the two damn impeachments. but I'll take it offline and do some research here.
Well, it says here that the second one, the second impeachment concluded with his acquittal right before his term of office ended, the second one. And that might have been the Russia, but you're right about the Ukraine, and that they thought they tried to charge President Trump with using abuse of power, trying to get information out of Ukraine on that phone call that Vito just played for the quid pro quo for the $1 billion aid. You get rid of this this prosecutor going after my son Hunter, get rid of him, you get the $1 billion. But, of course, the rhino Republicans didn't do anything with that, and they had Biden dead to rights, and they took the high road.
Hence the one-party system that Hoger was talking about. Why didn't the rhinos go after it? Why didn't the Republicans go after this? I mean, they should have easily come to the defense because they had Biden in his own words, and now look where we're at, okay? Look where we're at today. We have an absolute liar in the White House, goes around the world, okay, is an embarrassment. Even Hezbollah, Nasrallah, talks about an elderly man that's as president of the United States, and he understands why America is in the condition it is, because they have an elderly man as president. This is what the head of Hezbollah, Nasrallah, says of Lebanon. I mean, they understand.
And the first impeachment was exactly what Al just recited about, him trying to influence Zelensky and getting information on Biden before the election and stuff. The second impeachment was actually Trump's incitement of insurrection. He was impeached for inciting the January 6th.
Yeah, and it was a made-up charge. They made the charge. They didn't care if it was true or not. They just wanted the charge on the records. You got to hand it to the Democrat Marxists. They play hardball. They will lie and go after you, get the smear out there, and if they're acquitted later, who the hell cares? The charge is out there. That's all the people will remember, and that's exactly what happened with the second impeachment.
But if you were a student in high school, okay, and you were taking a government class, and you were looking at the second impeachment of Donald Trump when they accused him of incitement to of insurrection and so forth, and that was what? That was like in January of 2020, right? Oh, no, 2021.
Right.
2021. Then if you're a young, bright student in that high school, wouldn't you say that, okay, if it's now a year and a half later, they're doing a committee investigation of the insurrection. Shouldn't that have been done before they impeached him in 2021?
Why are you using logic?
Wouldn't that make sense? Because wouldn't it be easier to get a conviction if you actually had all of the information and all the facts first?
They want to destroy the man. They don't want him running in 2024. That's all it comes down to.
Yeah. All right. Well, like I said, I think at one point in time in this country, there weren't a whole lot of Democrats in the House of Representatives more influential in this country, with more power in this country, than Debbie Wasserman Schultz, because mm-hmm. she was in the House of Representatives, she was on some pretty high-level committees, and she was the chairwoman of the DNC. Yeah, I mean, literally in charge of giving money out to, you know, fellow Democrats for campaigning, targeting those Republicans that they wanted defeated and all this. And at the same time, she's got, you know, the Awad brothers running around the Capitol like looking at diagrams of our nukes.
Yeah. Here's your access to quotes, you Middle Eastern men.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for letting me call in, boys.
Hey, anytime, Holger. Anytime.
All right, man.
Good,
see you later.
Talking to you.
All right, take care. I think it's Trumpophobia. That's what they have. I just decided. It's Trumpophobia. The Democrat Marxists have a rational fear of Trump because he is a capitalist. And they should fear Trump because he is a capitalist and he will smoke the Marxists and expose them.
You know, that's funny that you use the word capitalist, and I haven't heard that term in a long time, probably about a year now. And that's exactly what the problem is. The institution that is running government today despises capitalism and free enterprise. And, you know, the powers to be, whether it's, you know, Biden, Harris, or Pelosi, Schumer, they're okay with their successes. They're okay with reaping benefits and enriching themselves. But they really have lost that entire party has lost the premise of America and its foundings. And, you know, ever since I was re-listening to, I forgot his name. Oh my gosh, the economist. When Donahue asked him about the, when Donahue was bashing capitalism and free enterprise, you had the economist come back and say, well, tell me what system would you like? Are you saying that? Are you saying that communism is good? I mean, you're bashing capitalism and free enterprise, but what are you saying, you know, is good? And I'm trying to find the Donahue, and I can't find it because I can't think of the, you know who he is, too. I keep thinking Adam Smith, but it's not Adam Smith, the economist that he passed a couple of years ago. Milton Friedman, thank you. That's it, Milton Friedman. Here we go. Here, it's on greed. This is to the point, Al, that you were talking about with capitalism, and you know, Phil Donahue was a known liberal in that point, and this was the start in the 70s of bashing capitalism and for the utopian, you know, communist system.
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries, when you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism and whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly in the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear that there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise system.
But it seems to reward not virtue as much as ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue? You think a Hitler rewards virtue? You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest? You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us. Well, I don't even trust you to do that.
You know, that was Milton Friedman, and he was having he was on the Phil Donahue show. Some societies who run on greed, you know, tell us, give me an example of societies that run on greed. And then capitalism versus the only cases of getting people out of squalor, what, capitalism and free trade. You know, Milton Friedman was a brilliant man, and this 2 minutes and 23 seconds, he destroys the left-wing ideology. The same people on the left, they embrace Marxism, they embrace communism, and basically are telling us that they're looking to enrich themselves and to have power over the people. And, you know, he talked also about influence. You think presidents have influence? You know, they choose their political appointments because of politics. And I'm thinking back on that. And, you know, when you look at Trump's appointments, it wasn't politics. Did he choose Wilbur Mills for his political stature? No, the guy was a businessman, you know, who understood capitalism and free enterprise. He understood that, you know, income minus expenses equals a profit or a loss. And you know, this is what's frustrating with the whole scenario that we're faced with today in government. We have this absolute rejection of Donald Trump because of being an outsider. And that's all he was, is an outsider. And he was despised by the inside. He was despised by Nancy Pelosi. And they looked for ways to undermine the man's presidency. And, you know, then you have the excuse from Nancy Pelosi while she goes out and she tries to destroy Donald Trump, President Trump. She then excuses anti-Americans like Ilhan Omar. And she excuses the actions of Ilhan Omar as not having comprehension of the English language. I mean, there's always an excuse by Nancy Pelosi. The reason that she said her anti-Semitic remarks is that she doesn't have command of the English language. You know, in the past, members of Congress, speakers of the House, would not tolerate that type of incivility, that type of individual who was that anti-Semitic. And as Holger brought out about Eric Swalwell sleeping with the enemy, wouldn't tolerate that. And today it's excused. It's excused by the very party that despises the United States of America. You know, Ilhan Omar excused how CARE was founded. And then she summarily rejects the 9/11, the attack on America on 9/11, as some people may have done something. Oh, is that because that she has doesn't have the English language?
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
That was the clip posted.
So here's this broad who wants to talk about losing civil liberties, and then she has the audacity to sponsor the Combating International Islamophobia Act, taking away our civil liberties, taking away American civil liberties under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, combating intolerance, and it specifically states Muslims in that bill in H.R. 5665. Well, Muslims aren't being abused in the manner in which is being reported. And the cowards that exist in Washington, D.C. don't challenge individuals like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib. And somehow their words are taken as being mainstream. Well, excuse me, but it's extreme. And Ilhan Omar, the sponsor of H.R. 5665, is an extremist. She's an anti-constitutionalist, and she's an anti-American. And don't give us this excuse that she doesn't have command of the English language, or she wouldn't have sponsored this type of bill. Excuse the fact that she's an anti-Semite, and they excuse the fact that she's pro-BDS. And somehow that's irrelevant. And then she has the audacity to say that some people may have done something, 3,000 people, 3,000 lives lost on 9/11, billions of dollars of property damage on 9/11 because some people may have done something. That definitely should stick in your craw. And she's not going away either. She's doubling down. Matter of fact, the Democrat Party is doubling down on taking away your liberties and your rights that she even talked about. This is incredible what we're seeing today. And now H.R. 5665 is back in the United States Senate. And the desperate Democrats are desperate because maybe they do understand that there is a red wave that is coming in November, and they're going to lose their power in the United States House of Representatives. So let's go ahead and let's go ahead and start tearing down the Constitution before we leave. Because once you implement this combating intolerance, combating international Islamophobia Act, and you implement these offices inside the Department of State, you know they're not going to go away. And certainly under Bonehead Biden, he's not going to dissolve that particular office in the Department of State. Just like they really haven't dissolved the Truth Department in the Department of Homeland Security. You think Mayorkas is going to do that? You want to talk about a man who's anti-American? This is absolutely disgusting what we're seeing today coming out of this government. It's absolutely reprehensible that we'd even fall for this UN Resolution 1618 that the Democrats have been trying desperately since 2012, 10 years now, in trying to implement in the United States of America. 10 years. Islamophobia does not exist in the manner in which they're talking about in the United States. The number one group that is hated upon in the United States are the Jews. And that is a fact by the FBI. UN Resolution 1618, deploring any advocacy of discrimination or violence on the basis of religion or belief. Really? If the 57 Islamic states truly believe that, then they would descend on Nigeria and stop the extermination of Christians. They would do the same in Cameroon. They would do the same in Sudan. But they're not. Why? Supremacy. Supremacy. This is not about Islam being equal in America. It's about Islam being dominant. Hey, where have we heard that quote before? Oh, that's right. Hamas CARE. the co-founder of Hamas Care, Omar Ahmad. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. Now, if you don't think that anti-American Ilhan Omar is not following that edict, you're smoking pot. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. And now we have a domination bill that's been put forth by an individual who doesn't have command of the English language, as told to us by Nancy Pelosi. Excused by Nancy Pelosi. Representative Omar just doesn't have command of the English language. That's what we're told. That's how you excuse her anti-Semitic remarks, her anti-Semitic actions. And it was nice to see that she got booed by her own people in Minneapolis, by the way, 2 weeks ago. But that doesn't mean anything, because she'll probably still get reelected. You know, folks, this is getting to be, Al, this is really, really bad right now. This is really, the destructive Democrat Party is putting forth the kitchen sink and hoping things will pass. And this H.R. 5665 is another example of how anti-American the Democrat Party truly is.
Well, here's the kicker with that H.R. 5665. It doesn't even – Islamophobia, the word itself was made up in 1990, and there's not even a definition of what Islamophobia is. Now, if you take the Oxford Language Dictionary, it's dislike of or prejudice against Islam or Muslims, especially as a political force. Now, the Islamophobia Dictionary, who knew there was such a thing, but there is – they say, quote, Islamophobia is the most used term to describe prejudice, negative sentiments, and hostility toward Islam and Muslims. Islamophobia can be based on ideas about Islam as a religion and on ideas about Muslims as a cultural and ethnic group. And it goes back to what you said earlier. If I say this, Am I an Islamophobia? Can I be prosecuted for it? The Prophet married Aisha when she was 6 years old, and he consummated his marriage when he was 9 years old. And they're talking about Muhammad.
Where did you get that now, Al? Where were you reading it? Did you just make that up? I mean, did you find that in the New York Times or the New York Post? I mean, seriously, where did you get that to come up with that type of information?
Well, that came from Sahih Bukhari, 5134, Book 67, Hadith 70. That is a codified Islamic text.
What?
The Prophet Muhammad, at age 54, married Aisha when she was 6 years old, and he consummated his marriage when she was 9 years old. So if I call Muhammad a pedophile, is that considered Islamophobic? Is there anything I said that has not been true? Is a 54-year-old man having sex with a 9-year-old considered pedophilia in any day or age? The answer is yes.
Yeah, but so girls matured faster, though, in the desert back then. We're talking about two different eras now. We're talking about 623 A.D. versus 14, mm-hmm. Versus 2022.
Yeah, but still, we're talking a 54-year-old man having sex with a 9-year-old. Either way, it's not acceptable behavior. So I would get charged with Islamophobia, not because it's not true, but because I just ridiculed the Prophet Muhammad, and I have created a grave sin of bad-mouthing Islam. Now, here's another example. If I said this, is this Islamophobic? The penalty of those who wage war against Allah and his messenger Muhammad and seek corruption in the land is to be killed, crucified, or have their hands and feet cut off on alternate sides, or to be banished from the land. That is their disgrace in this world, and in the hereafter they shall have a great punishment. I just made the case for crucifixion, which is pretty nasty because that's how they killed Jesus. They nailed your hands and your feet to a cross, and then you had excruciating pain hour after hour after hour until you eventually drowned because blood would form in your lungs. I would say that's a negative against Islam. But that came from the Quran. That's the word of Allah to the letter. Now, that would be considered Islamophobic, too, not because it's untrue, but because yours truly, a non-Muslim, said it.
There you go. There you go. You're talking about the challenge that was leveled against non-Muslims, to non-Muslims, actually, to understand Islam, read the Quran. So if you read the Quran out loud, chapter 9, verse 5, so when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them and take them as captive and besiege them and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and give legal alms, so leave their way free. And chapter 9, verse 5, abrogated over 124 verses in the Quran, but the word of Allah cannot be changed. So if you're reading the actual word of Allah as you read and I just read, you're right. Is that Islamophobia? Because we're actually reading the word of Allah.
Yeah. Now here's where Ilhan Omar gets really stupid, because if the Saudi Arabian Muslims who are Sunni kill the Yemen Muslims who they're at war with right now because they're Shia, that's Muslim killing Muslim, Shia killing Sunni, Sunni Muslim killing Shia Muslim. Is that Islamophobia?
Well, yes, because it's a self-interest issue.
Right. They're two sects that hate each other.
Right.
So two Muslims can both be Islamophobiacs.
The issue is that the Ilhan Omars and the Rashida Motherfucker Tlaibs aren't going to talk about what's happening in Cameroon. They're not talking about what's happening in Togo with Muslims murdering 12 civilians. They're not talking about what's happening in Nigeria day after day, week after week. And now two priests have been killed in Nigeria. Sudan, you want to talk about someone's rights? Sudan is an Islamic country. Sudan is part of the Organization of Islamic Cowards, Cooperation, okay? Remember now, the very first bullet point under UN Resolution 1618 that was passed by the 57 Islamic states, including Sudan, combating intolerance, negative stereotyping, and stigmatization of, and discrimination, incitement to violence, and violence against persons based on religion or belief. And what's the headline in Jihad Watch? Sudan. Sharia court finds woman 20 guilty of adultery, sentence her to be stoned to death. Okay. Well, wait a minute. Excuse me, but what about discrimination? What about tolerance? There's no tolerance in Sharia court, in Sharia, right? There's no tolerance.
No.
Nigeria, Muslims abduct two Catholic priests, and I'm sure they're dead. There's no tolerance. Here we go. Combating intolerance, negative stereotype, and discrimination, incitement to violence, and violence against persons based on religion or belief. Well, Catholic priests are Christians of the Christian faith. Muslims, Nigeria, the Muslims abduct two Catholic priests. So now Nigeria, which is also part of the Islamic, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, now we've got the attack on Catholic priests. You have India. Hindus are being persecuted by Muslims. Where's the Islamophobia there? Huh? I mean, so it goes on and on and on. And this entire 5665, HR 5665 is a sham. It's bogus. It is meant to extract more money from taxpayers. If anything else, Okay. The United States of America does not need to be policing anything. That's why they have the United Nations, okay? Supposed to have the United Nations. Let the United Nations Human Rights Council deal with this. The United States of America is not the police of the world. We have our own problems in the United States, and we can thank Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, word salad, okay, for the problems that we are experiencing today unnecessarily. But there is a mission by this administration, by the trio of Biden, Harris, and Obama, okay, and that is to break the American people. That is to undo everything President Trump put in place. And they're succeeding. And they're breaking the American people. In the meantime, you've got the Candyman Biden going around the world and throwing out $200 million there, here, and another $100 million, okay, for Palestinian hospitals. In the meantime, the world has been giving the Palestinian organizations, whether it's the Authority or the terrorist group Hamas, they're giving them millions of dollars, okay, to build hospitals, to buy equipment, and to be in the 21st century, maybe even the 20th century. And what do? They spend the money on weapons. They spend the money on rockets and missiles to fire into Israel and to kill Jews. And where is the outrage? In the meantime, now we've got the Candyman Biden sitting there getting it, you know, chumming up to the Palestinian people, wanting to go back to the pre-1967 borders with a two-state solution, and then giving $100 million, okay, to Palestinians for their hospital. Excuse me, we've got hospitals in the United States, including Walter Reed Army Hospital, that needs to be shored up. We need to take care of the American people. We have senior citizens in this country that can't even buy groceries anymore. And this bozo Biden is giving $100 million, supposedly for a Palestinian hospital, giving $200 million to the United Nations Relief Fund. Where are the Islamic states stepping up and helping their fellow Muslims, huh? Where are the rich, the wealthy Islamic states stepping up and helping their own people? Why is it incumbent upon the United States of America taxpayers, okay, to be funding these schemes when we don't have the money? We're running a $30 trillion, $31 trillion deficit. We have an out-of-control Congress, a fiscally irresponsible president who's pissing money away, but he's doing exactly what he was installed to do. Why are we giving $300 million to the Palestinians? Why isn't the United Nations stepping up and helping the Palestinians? Why aren't the rich Islamic states stepping up? Where is Saudi Arabia helping the Palestinians? Huh? Where is United Arab Emirates? Oh, UAE, they're building another 110-story building to go higher than any other building in the world. Oh, that's more important. In the meantime, you continue to siphon and suck the taxpayer teat dry when, in fact, the American people are struggling right now. I mean, if that's not the epitome of fiscal irresponsibility, I don't know what is. And they allow this bonehead to go out there and start talking. He's an embarrassment. And certainly there are people. There's nobody in nobody in Congress talking about this. Nobody. Nobody.
Well, they can't send Jill Biden now because she called all the Latinos tacos.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
She said, the Latinos are so diverse. This is Dr. Jill Biden. The Latinos are so diverse, they're like breakfast tacos. How disrespectful calling Latinos tacos, and there is no offense from the Latino community. And there's a large Republican, conservative Latino community from the Cuban population, but they're all quiet.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Now, the New York Times did speak out now after a congresswoman from, I believe, was she a congresswoman or was she a candidate from Texas, called out Jill Biden for her racist remarks. The New York Times went on a mission to slander and malign that congresswoman. because she had the audacity to call out the racist Joe Biden. So even the New York Times, which is now, we all understand now, the New York Times is part of the DNC state media. The DNC calls the shots. The DNC sanitizes. They sanitize Hunter Biden. They sanitize the Biden crime family. And now they sanitize and they cover up for the racist Jill Biden. Dr. Jill Biden, by the way. She's a doctor of education. And so she knows, she chose her words correctly, didn't she? If she used the words calling the, you know, Hispanics tacos, okay, referring to tacos. And so, therefore, Dr. Jill Biden does have command of the English language. Whereas the idiot in the House of Representatives, not Nancy Pelosi, but the other idiot, Omar, who doesn't, we're told that she doesn't have command of the English language. Yeah. But Dr. Jill Biden does, because she's a professor of education, I understood.
Tacos.
Where's the outrage? Honestly, where is the outrage over this? I mean, it's one racist comment after another between Joe Biden and now Jill Biden. It's another revelation after another with assorted events of Hunter Biden. And now there's even further proof from that hard drive that the big guy, thank you, Boyd, the big guy was getting 10% from Hunter Biden, the big guy, Joe Biden. Turns out that the big guy did know exactly what his son, Hunter Biden, was doing and knew his friends and met with his friends, met with the Chinese as vice president of the United States, as former vice president. And yet there's no outrage. And the cover-up in Washington, D.C. continues. See, if you're not of the right, of the correct political party of Washington, D.C., you will not be covered up for. You will not be harbored. You know, you will not get the treatment that, you know, a Joe Biden get if you're not of the correct political party.
You want to talk about hypocrisy? Holy mackerel, the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser.
Ooh.
She is very upset because she doesn't like illegal aliens coming to her city, Washington, D.C., and they're being sent up from Arizona, and they're filling up her homeless shelters, and she's very upset with the mayor or the governor of Arizona because he's sending illegal aliens up to D.C., which is a sanctuary city, and I think it's fantastic. Send them all. Send all these illegal aliens to D.C. Let them deal with it.
So say that again. Now, the mayor of D.C. is upset with the state of Texas?
Well, yes, because they're taking their illegal aliens that are rushing the border by the thousands up through Arizona and Texas, and they're putting them on planes and buses and sending them to D.C., the ones who will voluntarily go. And I guess there's a lot of them because D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is very upset.
So she's upset that Governor Abbott's program is working.
Well, yes.
So did she use the term illegal aliens?
Well, no. They're...
Oh.
No, no one says illegal aliens anymore. They're migrants. They're displaced people. They're tacos.
They're tacos.
Tacos.
Oh.
They're sending tacos to D.C. Taco Tuesday.
Tacos Tuesday. That's tomorrow. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know what I noticed? That now that you talk about illegal aliens, and, you know, this is another reason why Biden and Harris have created a national security threat, including a national health problem. I had my headset on. I was practicing last week and at the range early in the morning, and 2 days in a row, an ad comes on, and I thought I was hearing things about whooping cough. You know, if you like ice cream comes in. Doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult. I said, wow, that's pretty interesting. Whooping cough affects everyone. Wait a minute. Ice cream,
whooping.
Adult, whooping cough. So what is the significance of that? The United States eradicated whooping cough. The United States had eradicated smallpox. And now we have advertisements, and I saw it on TV yesterday, as a matter of fact. I was watching a monk marathon, and there was advertisement for going to the doc, getting treated for a whooping cough. You know, this is, well, it sounds trivial, but this is a direct indictment on the failed policies, the intentional failed policies of Biden-Harris in opening our southern borders and letting illegal aliens just pour through our borders. This is a national health crisis. This is a national security threat. These are diseases that have been eradicated from America, and or were very, very few in nature. And now you've got the diseases coming back. You've got these strains coming back. And why? And why? Because you've got these people coming up through the southern borders who aren't properly inoculated and immunized, and now they're infecting Americans. Now they're infecting go ahead.
Yeah, they're coming over. They're inundating the border, the Border Patrol, in such numbers that they can't even process them, much less check out to make sure that they're healthy. Because when our families came through Ellis Island, if they were sick, they got rejected at right there at Ellis Island. They wouldn't allow them entry. You had to pass all the medical tests.
That's
but
correct.
Not this. They can't. They're too inundated, and that is just how President Biden wants it. Because each one of these illegal aliens is a potential Democrat voter, and he's looking at each one of these tacos and other than tacos as being Democrat voters, and he sees the Democrat Party being in party for at least the next two decades. That's what this is all about. It's about keeping and acquiring power for decades. That's what each one of these illegal aliens are to Biden. That's why he has the border open. It's not by mistake. He doesn't give a shit about the country.
That's correct. That's correct. I just find it, I'm really, you know, again, why aren't people talking about this? You know, I mean, this is outrageous. I mean, whooping cough, and then what a smallpox. And then you had another disease that was happening in Massachusetts that was occurring at Boston Hospital was treating patients, these young children, for polio-like symptoms, which we haven't seen in 100 years. You know?
Right, there were vaccines.
Years, 50 years.
Well, yeah, we got inoculated as kids. There were vaccines that actually worked and got rid of those diseases. You got a polio vaccine, no more polio. It eradicated it. As well as, I guess, all the rubella, all the childhood vaccines, they worked. Unlike this current COVID vaccine, which doesn't even work. It's not even a vaccine. You get the shot, you still get sick.
You do.
And you can still pass COVID on to other people.
Ned, what was it? 94% of the deaths in the UK are people who have been vaccinated.
Yeah, because they're still getting it. And all these vaccinated people, and so if they get sick, all they get are the sniffles, and then they go running around like, oh, it's just the sniffles, I'm okay, it's nothing too bad. But meanwhile, they're sick as dogs, and they're giving it to me. I don't like that.
Yeah, I tell you, it's getting really bad. It really is, and you know, as long as the destructive Democrat Party is in place, there's going to be no end in sight for this. And it's hard to believe that a president of the United States would put America in such position to jeopardize our national security and our nation's health. And it's truly amazing what we're seeing today.
Yeah. Then we got cross-dressers everywhere. You got cross-dressers in women's sports. You even have an admiral who's a cross-dresser, who's one of the deputies at HHS, Richard Levine, and he's an admiral. And then they have another cross-dresser who is his job is to take care of nuclear waste.
I know. Oh, my God, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Well, we started the show with cross-dressers, and now we're back
to chairman of the What would the chairman of the board say, Vito?
Oh, you got to be kidding me. With all these bras out there, you got to worry about some guy, some dude dressing like a woman. Come on, give me another Jack Daniels.
Without the Adam's apple, please.
Yeah, without the Adam's apple. Hey, tomorrow night, we've got Eric from Kafaristan with Across the Crescent. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 5:30. Maybe Hank will be talking a little bit more about the NCAA and the cross-dressers. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report on Thursday. Paul is also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, which you can purchase on Amazon.com or at his website. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. Minister Usama Dakdak and the beautiful Christie on Saturday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, revealing the truth about Islam. And Sunday, Eric from Kafaristan is back with his interfaith dialogue at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, the real interfaith dialogue. If you want to learn about Islam and Judaism and Christianity, it's a great interfaith dialogue show. It's simulcast right here on Global Patriot Radio. Monday, and Alan and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Please keep G-Ski and Dave in your prayers of Airways America. Hopefully they'll be back on the air pretty soon. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio with our great sidekick, Curtis Bennett. Friday afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Chief Simple Facts of Life, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Simone Nicole, I think you might not be on this week again, but we'll check that. But it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com, but I don't believe he has a show this week. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. You can check out Audrey's show at AudreyRusso.com. She has a great show, great guest. Normally has about three guests on her show, and so check out her show on Thursday evenings. I want to say hello to Sue from New Mexico, and keep Sue in your prayers, and gets better from dealing with her COVID issues, a poor thing. Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Check out Bigfoot's blog. Great blog. He had some great photos in there and a documentation of his travels around the West Coast. And hopefully he didn't lose too much money in Vegas. Or hopefully he won money in Vegas. Ducky Northwest, nice to see you. Golf Dogs, HOV Radio. Holder, holy cannoli, thanks for the call. Guy, nice to see you, Guy. And the Alaskan Boyd. Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So any parting shots, Al?
Hey, take an illegal alien home tomorrow because it's Taco Tuesday. And I hope you live to Taco Wednesday. Adios, amigos.
That's the whooping cough. Tacos. It is unbelievable. The First Lady of the United States calls Hispanics tacos, and there's absolute zero outrage by the media. I mean, unbelievable the way they keep sanitizing this Biden crime family. It's truly unbelievable. But we'll keep talking about it. Well, you all be safe out there. Thank you for joining us this evening. Be aware of your surroundings, and be safe out there. God bless you guys. Take care.
Boy, that went fast.
It did. It did. We missed a couple of stories, but we got some in there anyway, so that was good.
Yeah.
God almighty. You know, we didn't talk enough about Biden and the $300 million that he is going to be giving to, or would like to give to Palestine. I just, you know, Biden also referenced a pledge that he made earlier in the day when he visited Augusta Victoria Hospital in East Jerusalem for $100 million for Palestinian health care services in East Jerusalem. And I know you read that story. You probably saw the story about his trip to that hospital there. But it was more minutia. It was absolute lies. And you
big
know,
time.
I mean, go ahead. Go ahead.
East Jerusalem is Israel. Israel liberated all of Jerusalem in 1967, and it's now an undivided city. Yes, there's East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, the Arab quarter, the Jewish quarter, the Armenian quarter, the Christian quarter, but it's all Israel. For him to say that, that was a real piece of shit move.
It is, and where the hell is the outrage, you know? Where is the outrage by the American Jewish community, for one? I mean, it's one lie after another with this guy. And $100 million for Palestinian health care services? What about $100 million for senior health care services in the United States? Why is it that seniors today are still suffering with COVID and they can't get the proper care because they don't have the money to buy the therapeutics? You know, and in the meantime, we have $100 million that you can just throw away to the Palestinians when in fact, all the money that's been given for Palestinian healthcare services, you know, they're instead of using it to improve medical care, I mean, for buying new equipment and for training doctors and nurses, instead Hamas and the Palestinian Authority, they buy missiles and rockets so they can fire from schools, mosques, and hospitals. And yet, bonehead Biden doesn't even acknowledge that.
No, and then the Palestinians, they go to Israeli hospitals when they need very difficult surgeries or they burn units. They treat everybody. And they don't ever get paid for it. They treat the Palestinians, and I've seen it with my very own eyeballs.
You know, it's funny you say that because I read another story and a couple of days ago in Jihad Watch about a sheikh who from Palestine, who absolutely railed every day on Israel, called them, you know, called the Israelis dogs and just every name, and it recited, you know, passages from the Quran that was maligning Jews, has a heart condition. He goes to the Zion Hospital, it's called the Zionist Hospital, excuse me, gets his heart repaired. They save his life. And once he gets out of the hospital, he goes back to start denigrating the Jews once again. But they just saved his life. It just goes to show how ungrateful and how hateful these people are.
Yeah, well, I interviewed one doctor, and there was a Palestinian girl who went to the hospital. She had burns, and they repaired the burns. Burn victims takes a long time, costs a lot of money. And they repaired her face and body that was badly burned. And then she comes back 6 months later wearing a vest to blow up the hospital. Luckily, she was unsuccessful. But
oh, she was unsuccessful? Thank God for that.
No. Thank God she wasn't, or people would have gotten killed, including herself. But the fact that the Israelis at an Israeli hospital, they didn't even charge her. For 2 years, she went there to get treatments for these burns because it just takes such a long time for the process to heal. And then she comes back and then wearing a bomb vest to blow up the hospital that treated her. That's the mindset.
Yeah, that's pure hatred. That's just – and then to help improve Palestinian day-to-day life, Biden said he was pledging an additional $200 million to the United Nations Relief and Work Agency. Why? To improve – So what? That's just more propaganda from this bonehead, you know. And this, that, you know, and to me, that is the Muslim Brotherhood that's speaking, that gave him these talking points. Because how about Hamas improved the lives of their people, huh? How about the Palestinian Authority? And he said, well, Vito, how can they do that? Well, let's see. correct me if I'm wrong, Al, but if you're in the Hamas government, you have a luxury living facility on the Mediterranean. And if you're part of that Palestinian Authority and a part of that Hamas hierarchy, you drive a very nice vehicle, a Mercedes, a BMW, a Peugeot. I mean, you're living lavish lifestyle. And in the meantime, you've keeping your people in squalor and you've blamed Israel for that. And now you've got bonehead Biden giving $200 million of taxpayer money that we don't have to an organization that's corrupt as hell, the United Nations Release and Work Agency. Again, where are the Islamic countries, especially the wealthy Islamic countries, taking care of their own people, taking care of their fellow Islam Muslim brothers, huh? Where are they? Where are they?
Well, right now, they're siding with Israel because they're so afraid of Iran that they're part of the Abraham Accords, the Sunni Muslims, because they're afraid of Iran. They want Israel to go bomb Iran. It's so funny.
God.
So really, all he did was give that money to Hamas, and those people that he gave all that money to, our president, they all voted for Hamas to rule them.
Exactly. Exactly. No, and no one's talking about that. I mean, this is a failed president. This is a failed individual. And then to boot, Saudi Arabia, which was the pièce de resistance, right? Here's a guy, you know, Biden, the talk tough Biden train, you know, about, you gotta marginalize the Saudi Arabians. All during the campaign, all the propaganda, all the sound bites when he emerged from the basement, he always had all the answers. And then he gets in front and he does nothing about Khashoggi. In addition to that, we can still, as Americans, we can expect to get hosed at the pump because the Saudis, they're going to increase production of oil by 13 million barrels a day by 2027. Wow. Wow. And now you know that blowhard Biden will come out, he'll pound himself on the chest. I got the Saudis to increase oil production by 1.3 billion barrels a day, and we're gonna lower gas prices. God, yeah, I have a problem with
it. Hey, it's enough to piss off the Pope.
Yeah. And the talk of the Pope resigning is a bit exaggerated, by the way.
Yeah, I did hear a little bit about that, but no, he's not going to resign. Getting up there is too much of a climb.
He is having issues with walking, but I got it from a reliable source. I asked that question. I said, "Hey, so yeah, I understand the Pope's gonna resign here shortly," and he laughed. Where did you hear that? Oh, the American media and the propaganda. I said, "Really? The Pope needs, but Pope Francis is not going to resign." I said, "Oh, really? You're not stepping down?" No, you know, but Pope Benedict did create a bit of a, how did he put it? Make an example now, and sure, there might be popes that you don't have to die in order to leave, but no, Pope Francis is not going anywhere. It's like, oh.
Well, there you go.
Interesting.
Huh. Yes.
I wanted to share that little factoid. All right.
All right, well, you have a great week.
Thanks, you too.
You take care of yourself.
Yeah, please take care of yourself. You know, we have a mutual friend who tested positive for COVID. Surgery gets canceled, goes back in 7 days, tests positive again. Surgery's been canceled once again, delayed, I should say. man, it's like this strain that's going about, you know, with these positives. Another guy I talked to yesterday, an acquaintance friend, he had tested positive. He was supposed to go back to work after 6 days, got tested again, tested positive again. Then his wife tested positive for COVID. And he took a test again on this past Wednesday, and he finally tested negative after 15 days, I think it was. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So this strain is hitting pretty good.
Well, I'm going to take my preventative ivermectin pill tonight.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I was taking them every Monday, and I guess now I'll take one pill Monday and on Taco Thursday.
With your refried beans?
Don't be racist. Come on now.
Hey, we got the horse liniment in today. So,
and you got what?
Got the horse liniment in.
Oh, how does it feel?
You know what? I put it on my shoulder. I put it on my wife's back, and she says it felt good, but it's only the first application, maybe the second app. Yeah, first application two today.
Mm-hmm.
I put some on my shoulder today. This is twice now. I'm going to do it again after the show, and I'll tell you what, my shoulder really felt good on it. Oh my God!
Really?
Yeah.
Does it smell bad?
No. It has a little bit of a menthol smell to it, but you know what? Yeah. After it's been on for about 5 minutes, it's not like the
Bengay.
Yeah. Oh, I love Bengay. Especially gets in your nose, nostrils, and clears up your nostrils. Yeah, but no, it doesn't have that after smell like that. But once it gets in there and you can feel it penetrating into the shoulder, and it's like, wow, it felt pretty good, I got to say. So, Sue, thank you. You were onto something there. And I had my oatmeal earlier, and I'll probably feel like having oats again.
The wife got you a feed bag. Hey, Vito, why the long face?
I told Sue last week, I said, I just ordered some horse liniment. And she said, horse liniment? I said, yeah. I said, because you have a nagging backache. She said, what? She says, well, what do you plan on doing with the horse liniment? It's like, well, what if I don't like it? It doesn't work. I said, well, we'll send you out to pasture and sell you for glue. I said, well, the paramedics just left and they said I have a slight concussion, but I'll be all right.
Send it out the pasture.
I'll sell you for glue. I thought it was funny. Oh,
it is funny.
It is, right?
That's hilarious. You had three good puns in one sentence. That's hard to do. No amateur can do that. That's definitely pro level.
Yeah, you know, and I thought it was really funny too. And then I had, you know, I made my own dinner that night, and then I woke up, I slept in my office. That was good. The door was locked.
You're so misunderstood. Poor Vito.
That's what I told her. I said, Al will tell you that I was just joking, that I'm misunderstood. Don't bring Al into this. It's not Al's fault. Oh, you're sticking up for Al, are you? I told you she likes you.
Yeah, he always puts his hoof in his mouth.
Oh.
All right, you have a good evening.
All right. Yeah, you too.
All right.
Be good.
Adios.
Talk to you later. Bye, Sue. Right, you bye. Take care of yourself. I hope you feel better.
Bye, Sue.
Thank you for using Block Talk Radio. Goodbye.